The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM channel 189. I messed it up first hour. You didn't catch me.
Oh, you did? Come on.
SiriusXM channel 189.
Apparently you did yesterday too. Andrew got in your ear. I didn't hear
that.
Yeah,
the first hour I did. Yeah. I'll get there. You know, one day I'll get this together.
I mean, it's something you've been saying multiple times a day, 5 days a week for a lot of years.
189. Thanks to everybody who came over with us. Still to come this hour, Tim Murray joins us. Tim Murray from VSiN Primetime and the College Football Tailgate Show. Not to mention the College Football Betting Podcast. All of that to talk college football with us. That would be weird if we talked something else with him after all that.
That would be kind of funny.
Mark Borch a little later on, Toddy Wishnev and Nick Whalen all will be on the show. We'll do our NFC power rankings here momentarily. We get tweets beating the book. Best listeners in the game. If I mentioned that today, I mean it. Just great tweets. Dr. Van Nostrad, I don't know if this is a great one, Dr. Van Nostrad, but I'm about to read it. Despite Kelly's hatred for Herbert, I don't know what that had to do with it anyway. He said, if a team goes relatively far in on the playoffs and their defensive end has like 16 sacks, and one of two of those highlight plays, these, by the way, the punctuation's all over the place. Can he win defensive player of the year? If so, can't I find odds on Tui Pulotu for it? He had 13 sacks last year. And then he clarifies, and thank God, because I needed clarification. Even though the vote is before the playoffs, you get what I mean. And if Donald steals two votes for Myles Garrett, that only helps. Okay. He likes that long shot bet.
All right. He had good numbers last year.
Minky Monkey Man. That is your real name. Come on, Gil. Everyone knows minding your P's and Q's derives from 17th century bartenders making drinks with a pint and a quart to track drinks ordered. Thought a teetotaler like yourself would know that.
Did people actually know this, or did everybody just go Google it?
I don't know.
I'm assuming everybody just Googled it.
Charles in Connecticut. Based on that DraftKings betting map, sounds like Will Hill should consider moving his clan to Tennessee. That's right. His ridiculous love of the Tennessee Titans on the Megapod. Johnny Brock. Did you do any research on how teams that travel early and or later to overseas games fare in the following week's games? I did not. What do you want from me? I had to do the first one first. But maybe I should. Oh, Jonathan Doe wanted me to ask Will what kind of wager he placed at the window. Was it a complicated or lengthy wager? Happy hump day.
That's what I was making fun of him for. Because I have seen the ticket writers get upset over that. And it's kind of understandable. I mean, like, busy NFL Sunday, you're 7 minutes before kickoff, and you get the guy who goes up to the window and be like, all right, seven leg parlay, I'm going to lay it out for you. And then they can't figure out what teams they're doing. Where's my money at?
Big Kumbe. Hope I'm pronouncing that right. Were you bullish on an American winning the U.S. Open pre-flop, or was it Drew or the Bear? It wasn't me. I have Alcaraz. I don't know if it was Drew or the Bear. I don't remember either of them saying that. iHeart SEC podcast has been using Phil Steele's 2026 projections to create hypothetical SEC versus Big Ten challenge matchup lines, projecting point spreads and over-unders. Check it out, he says. Okay. Good job. Aya Oya S69. Talking about the Will Hill segment and the whole conflict he had with the ticket writer. Aya Oya S69 says, football bonanza? Funny buddy? Having a difficult time trying to figure out this whole FB phrase. Football bonanza.
Oh, man.
Oh, the RGB commenting on the person earlier who just regurgitated everything I said in a tweet back at me. He said, Gil, think of it this way. We're not repeating you on purpose. It's just that Fezzik is rubbing off on us. That's right. The great aggregator. Sky High, pretty sure Will called her a buckin' fitch. Will, best listeners ever. Willie B. Benton, love the breakdown of the Melbourne game, Gil. My two cents is I see it affecting different Rams players differently. Some will have no problem adjusting, while others will be visibly affected. Could make for some live player prop betting opportunities. That's an angle.
Mm.
And then Scotty, just checked and the handle Whalen Sports is currently available on Twitter. Talk about Nick Whalen now. He said, should we shake up the industry and have Nick change it live on air? Imagine no more explaining number one instead of the letter L.
Man, people give Nick a hard time over this. I've never really got it. Matt Brown has major issues with this.
With
his Twitter handle.
Certain things set Matt off. That's one of them.
I don't really get it.
Jesse Welch. You can bet on exact World Series matchups like y'all did at DraftKings. You just have to build it yourself by parlaying both teams to win their respective leagues. And he says he's always been under the assumption that minding your P's and Q's stood for parentheses and quotation marks, and it originated from early newspaper writers. Okay?
I see. See, if you told me the answer that others have come with, and then what Jesse sent in and said one of these is real and one of them isn't, I would say Jesse's absolutely right. That sounds more right, even though I don't think it is.
Mako, Shades of Mako, can we please continue the multiple entry discussion? There has to be a point of diminishing returns, correct? That's the phrase that I've always used. The large teams are burning a lot of actual money when they get to execute their advantage, burn money to gain EV, they distribute risk. How is the EV added? I mean, for me, it's just the first thing that comes to mind is Thanksgiving and Christmas, right? Because I've always said there is a point of diminishing returns. That's why I never get 10. That's why I was always like, oh, I'll just get 6. Because you're going to play them proportionally the same way. Eventually, you only play one optimally. But I do think it makes a huge deal, obviously, right? If you get to Thanksgiving or Christmas, that's when size matters, if you will.
Yeah. I mean, like, come on. If money's not a concern at all, yeah. I mean, of course, the right thing to do, right, Gil? I mean, if money's not an issue, the right thing to do first week is you're putting all 10 on one side on Wednesday or Thursday and then rebuy.
Mm-hmm. And then J-Rod, very excited for Todd's appearance later, says, give Gilly the business, Toddy.
All right.
We'll see what happens. You ready to do our power rankings in the NFC?
Let's do it! Plug it in! Power it up!
Plug it in. Live 105 San Francisco.
Yeah, we need to get back. Tweet us some good rock stations that you guys listen
classic
to.
Classic rock. So.
Shout them out during that.
All right. This was a little funkier than the AFC.
Ooh, you know, I had more fun with the AFC.
Me, that's what I mean. This was a little weird. Let's go 16-1. Cardinals are 16. Sorry, Cardinals. You're last. Saints, 15. I know that's going to be controversial because a lot of people think the Saints are going to win the NFC South. Listen, Tyler Shuck, wildly inaccurate beyond 20 yards.
You know what? You know what's funny? As much as they've been talked about this offseason, there should be as much reaction to that as your Steelers won yesterday, but there won't be.
There won't be.
Because it's the Steelers.
Yep. I got the Giants third to last and the Commanders fourth to last. Giants 14th, Commanders 13th. Don't ever accuse me of being a homer because I think they're going to suck. Talking about the Commodore.
I tried to give him some credit the other day and you almost shot it down.
12th, Bucks. A lot of NFC South here at the bottom, right? I had the Saints 15, then it's the Bucks 12th, the Falcons 11th, the Panthers 10th. Giving the Panthers a little respect. Bryce Young has really avoided sacks well. Cut down on the turnovers. I don't know if he's any good per Kelly Bidlin, but I got him 10th. Then I think we will all have the same top 9. That's my guess. Maybe not. I got the Bears 9th. Just the defense is just, I can't make them higher because of that. Vikings 8. Cowboys 7. Packers 6. Remember, the Packers have gotten to the playoffs 3 years in a row at 7. I've got them at 6 this year. And then the top 5 in the NFC, probably no surprise. Niners 5, Eagles 4, Lions based on schedule 3, Seahawks 2. I will give the Rams the respect of all their phenomenal offseason acquisitions at 1. But I do think from a betting standpoint, the Seahawks' value is all over the place. But the Rams deserve to be number 1.
Yeah, well said. Well said about the top 2. Mine were exactly the same. I love this exercise sometimes.
Wow.
Because
our top 3 are the same. Yeah,
because I don't know how many times we've really sat here and talked about, like, okay, who are the third? What's the third best team in the NFC, right? I don't know, Gil. I put the Lions there. I made my aggressive stand, yes, number 4, Bears. Okay?
That's our only big difference here.
I'm a believer. I'm a believer in Ben Johnson, what's going on there in Chicago. I think it could be big.
Is he coach defense?
Couldn't decide how aggressive I wanted to get here because what do I really feel like in my heart, Gil, is that by the end of the year, Bears, Vikings, or Cowboys, we're talking about being that third, maybe fourth team in the NFC. Heading into the season, like, I got to give the Eagles some credit with that defense is still so dang good. Yes, I have major concerns about what that offense is going to look like this year with no A.J. Brown there. I think that passing game could struggle again. 49ers, with all the injuries, just don't know where to put them. Right? Going back to, like, your bet on the Niners, we were doing this a month ago. They're probably number 3 for me.
Right. Totally.
But like, okay, so I got to move that around. They come in at 6, Packers 7, Cowboys 8, Vikings 9. But like 3 through 9, Gil, I think you could make an argument for any of those teams.
I agree.
I think Vikings are going to be sneaky good this year.
A little bit of tomato tomato on those teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you are right. We had the same top nine, just different order. And then, yeah, it is funny. Bottom seven. That's where the NFC South belongs. I did start with the Bucks, 10 there. Commanders up higher. Commanders 11, Giants 12, Saints 13, Falcons 14, Panthers 15, Cardinals 16.
Very similar. The mm-hmm. Bears are the biggest difference.
Yep.
And they kind of.
But even look, man, I. Yeah. That was the last adjustment to these because I hated how boring on the market I was at the top. And I was like, let me I'm gonna put one of these teams up there. Let me take a stand on one of these teams.
Well, what's interesting here with the NFC is juxtaposed against yesterday. This one, there really wasn't any, I guess you could say I had the Saints second to last. Maybe you could make, you know, you could quibble about that and say that's a big deal. The AFC, though, I had the Texans way lower than most and the mm-hmm. Steelers way lower than most. Like, those are definitely my opinion versus the market. But the other lesson in this, just based on you and me doing this, is generally speaking, we kind of have in our minds a pretty similar breakdown of the hierarchy in each conference. We could be completely wrong. We could be completely right. Most likely we're somewhere in between.
Right. I will be less surprised if there are more surprises in the NFC, if that makes sense.
I agree.
Like, there's a lot of these teams. Lions, the schedule, I think the schedule keeps them makes safe. Them three. Like, right. I don't really know how good they are. I think they have some problems.
But the schedule makes them three.
Eagles, Niners, Packers, Cowboys. A lot of these teams, if they were not that great, would not shock them.
Eagles' defense is still spectacular. Don't know about the offense, but the Eagles' defense certainly is. Tim Murray, college football next, right here on A Numbers Game.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Tennis Channel, keys to success for Medvedev in this match. Quote, get your grind on, unquote. It's good analysis.
Sebastian Gorski's just in funny. Enjoy the moment.
Great analysis for Tennis Channel. Think you're better than the experts, by the way? Now's your chance to prove it. The Edge Boost Average Joke Contest puts you in the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational, the one the pros play. Top average Joe earns a spot in next year's Circa Invitational field. It's free to play. You can register anytime during the season to be eligible for weekly, quarterly, and season-long prizes. Each week, the highest score wins a $1,000 Edge Boost deposit. Just make sure you've got a funded Edge Boost account. Sign up at edgeboost.io with promo code VSIN. Enter the contest today at vsin.com/Joe. That's vsin.com/Joe. I was sort of tripping on the break. At least when I was at KML,
you were tripping. You always tripping.
I used to have a listener to the Love Zone at KML. His name was Kasim So Smooth. He used to call from a payphone. This is how long ago this was.
My God.
He used to call from a payphone somewhere in Oakland, and he used to say to me, Gil, you tripping like Scottie Pippen. That was his big thing.
Where was he listening to you on?
I guess he had a radio.
It's like anyway, walking around with a handle.
I was tripping on the break because I said this thing about McDonald's updating their signs when I was a kid, and I felt like when I was saying that, I was like, I'm 1,000 years old. I remember that. So I actually looked at this. McDonald's used to update their numbers on their roadside signs to show a running tally of total hamburgers sold starting at 1 million in 1955 and then climbing over the decades. They hit 20 billion in 1976, 50 billion in 1984, 80 billion in 1990. The running count stopped and froze at over 99 billion around 93 or 94. And then they had an annual convention, the annual McDonald's convention in 1994, and they decided to replace the updating digits with a static text that read billions and billions served. There you go.
That's what it actually says now?
It says billions and billions.
Served.
Dude, I remember. Like, there was one on Tim Murray may know this. Tim Murray joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line.
McDonald's locations in Washington, D.C.
That's exactly what's going to happen. There is a McDonald's. Tim, you know, East West Highway between Bethesda and Silver Spring? There's a McDonald's there.
Yeah.
The one we used to pass, and it would always go with like 35 billion, 40 billion. It used to update. Tim, by the way, the host of VSiN Primetime, the co-host of VSiN Primetime. And listen, it's all about college football with Tim because he's got the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show and the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Follow him on Twitter at @1TimMurray. You remember that one, huh? East West Highway.
I do. Yeah, you were closer to the city than I was. I was in Rockville, so I was a little bit further back. I remember the day that Cabin John Mall switched from Roy Rogers to McDonald's. That was a sad day. I was a sad day. I was a big fan of the
Double R Bar Burger, man.
get a couple drumsticks, and then you go to the fixin' bar and just load up on pickles.
See, Matty Humans doesn't know anything about Roy Rogers. He doesn't know about that.
He probably does.
Does he?
The Gold Rush.
I've never been
to one. I started working at
one.
Frederickville a couple years, I guess 15, 16 years ago. They still had Roy Rogers. That was a big day when I started working for the Frederick Keys and I could go to Roy Rogers for lunch.
So there are apparently a few Roy Rogers still around.
Didn't we just look this up recently?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was the double R burger. Yeah. Oh, it was so good. All right, Tim. Again, I've asked this about all college football folks. You learn anything from week zero? Anything?
Yeah, a little bit. UNC's not as bad as we thought. I think defensively that they're a capable bunch. I think people overlooked that they had a pretty good defense last year. They just enjoyed ragging on them. Certainly I did as well. But the defense is capable. Schedule's really challenging. But I think UNC probably a bowl team, you know, in that discussion as opposed to, you know, where their win total was. Memphis, you don't want to try to overreact too much, but I think they're a legitimate contender for the bid to the college football playoff from the G6. And, you know, I'm going to monitor North Dakota State here. I was a little bit lower on them, still a little bit hesitant to jump full in to the deep end here on North Dakota State, but they looked the part, very athletic, certainly had the size, but they still have to go on the road to the perceived top four teams in the Mountain West. But I'm not going to take too much away. Look, USC's got studs as freshmen. They won by 16. Score's very misleading. They're up 35-3. They took their foot off the gas. So if you laid the chalk with USC or took their team total over, I know that was a loser for you, but I'm not going to take too much away from USC in what was truly a preseason game. The crowd would tell you it was a preseason game as well out there at the Coliseum.
By the way, I just mentioned Tim's shows. People should know. The College Football Betting Podcast is spectacular.
Oh, it's amazing. He's the hardest working podcaster at this network.
It's great.
And that is two guys sitting here that do a podcast.
Great guest. It's great.
All I see in my email all week long is export from this podcast. And it's just over and over because Tim cares and he loves it, but loves the content.
Just,
good job, Tim.
Let's just praise Tim Murray for the next 5 minutes.
Yep.
It's great.
Thank you. Hey, this has been great. Appreciate it, guys. See you later. I appreciate it.
All right, let's bounce around the country here. We'll go random. Let's start with the with Coach Prime and the Buffaloes heading to Georgia Tech, where the Yellow Jackets are 7-point favorites.
Yeah, I feel like this could be potentially. And now, look, it's week one. Let's dip our toe in. Don't go too crazy. We're not throwing 10-unit mega locks out there for week one. Maybe some people are. I'm not certainly going to do it. I took the 7 here with Colorado, Gil. And, you know, it's a bit of a leap of faith. You know, it feels like Colorado, as we just talked about UNC, nobody wanted to bet on UNC last week because of just everything that unfolded in year one. It's year four of Coach Prime. Things have seemingly gone sideways a little bit. They're not getting the hype that they had just a couple years ago. Very intrigued to see what this offense is going to look like. The go-go offense, they bring in Brendan Marion, an innovative offensive coordinator. He was at Sacramento State as their head coach a year ago. And more so, this is a bit of a fate of Georgia Tech for me, Gil, because you know, they lost Buster Faulkner, their offensive coordinator. He goes to Florida. They lose Haynes King, their quarterback. It's kind of a do-everything type of quarterback for them. And they lost their backup quarterback in Aaron Filo, who followed Buster Faulkner to Florida, and he'll be the starter for the Gators. So they're going to go with Fernando Mendoza's little brother, Alberto. We'll see how good he is. Maybe he's going to shock the world like his older bro did last year. But if you're giving me a full touchdown in a game that I think probably should be lined in that 4-5 range, I'll happily take a full touchdown here with some uncertainty with the rambling wreck down in the ATL.
I will give you a full touchdown. By the way, what price would you have needed year one of Coach Prime that he would still be coaching the Buffaloes in year four?
Ooh, 15-1.
I was going to say, has to be high, right?
What's taking so long? Why isn't he in Tallahassee? Why isn't he in Tallahassee by now, Tim? What are we doing?
You should probably win football games, Kelly, in order to get a job like Florida State.
The obvious answer.
But the guy who's currently there isn't doing that, so what's the difference?
That is also true.
Tim said you should probably
win. Also, we could get into finances down there at Florida State. They were looking around for a quarterback, and they had lots of quarterbacks come to Tallahassee, and they said, we'll give you this. They said, I will leave that door right now. See you later. And that's why Ashton Daniels is the starting quarterback for Florida State this year.
Will Hill was on earlier. He's taking the Louisville Cardinals plus the points against Ole Miss. What are you doing?
Oh, I'm a ride with my ginger brother. Look, I am infatuated with Louisville this year. Lincoln Keenholz, an unknown. You know, as we look for the Heisman market, we do this in all sports. We try to buy low, try to buy on the unknown. And that's kind of what Lincoln Kienholz is. You know, we saw him get a start. I believe it was in the Cotton Bowl when Ohio State was, you know, had nobody playing against Missouri a couple of years ago. But everything you heard about Lincoln Kienholz in Columbus when he was the backup to Julian Sain was the athleticism is off the charts. And this is just a true dynamic athlete. And now he goes to Jeff Brohm, who's a quarterback whisperer. And, you know, I think this is, to me, guys, this is the most intriguing game of week one. You know, Nashville, it's a neutral site game. You've got Ole Miss with Pete Golding now as the full-time head coach. Trinidad Chambliss comes back for another year. He was exceptional, obviously, when he took over the reins for Ole Miss when Austin Simmons got hurt. And you have Kiwan Lacy, who you could argue is the best running back in college football. I just have some questions about Pete Golding being a full-time head coach. He did a great job in the, you know, immediate aftermath of Lane Kiffin. Now you've got the offseason. And Jeff Brohm, as an underdog, this is a guy you want to back. You think back to last year, guys, two touchdown underdog at Miami. They pull off the outright upset. So once again, it's that number. You're giving me a full seven. I'll happily take it. There were some 7.5s in the offseason. Maybe we get there, but I did grab the seven. I think seven minus 105 still out there at Circa because I just love backing Jeff Brohm as an underdog. And I'll tell you what, guys, I have a very long shot Heisman future on Lincoln Kienholz 110-1 that I will look either really smart come Monday morning, or you'll be like, you bet that guy to win the Heisman Trophy? You're an idiot. We should not listen to the College Football Betting Podcast.
Don't worry. We once bet Taulia Tagovailoa for Heisman, and within 1.5, he threw 3 picks. So it could be worse.
Right before a Thursday night game.
Little Tua. Come on.
We were smart right before kickoff.
Record-setting quarterback for Maryland.
Were they playing Iowa?
Maybe.
Why that sounds right.
Maybe.
Oh, yeah. That was a Friday night game, Kelly. Why you got to bring that up?
Oh, there you go. That's probably what it was.
Maryland was catching 3. Oh, home dog. This would be a good spot. Iowa scored another touchdown just 5 minutes ago.
I think that was it.
It was like 51-3.
I think that was the game.
I think that was it.
30 seconds, Tim. It's not official Tim Murray segment without a Notre Dame Fighting Irish take. They are 3 touchdown favorites against Wisconsin.
I'll be there. My maiden voyage to Lambeau on Sunday night. Looking forward to it. Not going to lay the chalk here, but I do think just reading the tea leaves a little bit, could be some injuries on Wisconsin's offensive line. Notre Dame, their mantra this offseason is leave no doubt. So this could be a whooping. And for Notre Dame, if they want to win the national title for the first time since 88, I think they need to make a statement on Sunday night. Not going to lay it, but I wouldn't take it either with Wisconsin.
Just go to Milwaukee, tell me no Tim Murray. Everything's free. Boom. Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, man. Tim Murray, everybody.
See you guys.
At 1 Tim Murray. Nick Whalen joins us on the other side. Football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
So,
overlooking the world's largest, most gorgeous sports book. Look at that thing. Look at that thing. Lights everywhere. Oh, you actually looked at it. Nope, still
working on the escalator.
Are they? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The pulley system's gone, though.
I'll say it again. There is an escalator outdoors right in the middle of the strip on the east side of the strip right in front of the Walgreens where Harmon and South Las Vegas Boulevard intersect, where the Walgreens and the Bubblegum Shrimp and Taco Bell, that part. That escalator does not work 96.4% of the time.
It's wild. There's so many in this city.
Yeah.
I joke about the company, but like so often they're broken. It's just crazy that you get a good, like, you can see inside them and kind of see how like escalators work. There's a lot more going on there than I would have thought. Then it puts into perspective how crazy some of these are, that like how there's can't be any other city in the world where there's more of these, like the 3-story high ones, right? Oh. Like, you get up the stadium swim run, or some of these ones that go up to clubs in these cities. I'm like, this is you're taking up three stories.
The one at Stadium Swim it makes you a little dizzy.
Yes. It's a massive log escalator, man.
Canarsie Bourne, 65 on Twitter. I'd like you to share with the best listener. This is a great tweet. We usually get one like this. He goes, I would like you to share with the best listeners of the game that one of the many reasons why I love my girlfriend is that she's always railing on me if I'm not hitting 53% of my bets. She's the best. Sounds like he had to do that.
I got a follow-up question, though. Do you mean unlike, like, she doesn't expect you to win every single one? Or, like, she gets mad at the losers because she knows where the cutoff point is for winning?
I love that answer. She's the best.
She's the best.
Sports dive only. The Saints being number 15, Gil, is interesting. You must be fading Tyler Shuck this year. Yes, I am. Not accurate beyond a certain distance. Jason McKinney, like, wholly inaccurate. Jason McKinney, I'd be pretty upset if I was behind Will Hill and I heard him call the lady at the counter a farting bovine, especially knowing how bad methane destroys the environment. I can't think of anything worse than that. There's his FB. And then people were sending in rock radio stations.
Oh, good.
John Landon, Appleton, Wisconsin, the Rockin' Apple, 105.7 WAPL.
Apple.
Okay. And Wright. He said, does this include properly announcing the station? He said, WROQ 95, the album station. Not sure where that is. All right, we got a whole bunch. And then Las Vegas 514 about McDonald's or Roy Rogers in the DMV. He says, yo, a childhood memory that I remember well, Roy Rogers, three left in the DMV area, Alexandria, Virginia, Franconia, Virginia, and Waldorf, Maryland. The double burger, a classic cheeseburger topped with a slice of ham. Yummy. That's right. They had a ham on it.
Ew, what?
Bro, it was great.
I mean, like, I'd try it. That doesn't sound great.
Don't sleep on Roy Roger.
I've never seen that. I would try that. Like, it's not like it's disgusting or anything. Oh, I mean, it's so ham, bacon.
You know what it was, though? It was an actual thick burger. It wasn't this bowl, right?
Mm-hmm.
So great. Nick Whalen joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the co-host of Prop Points, the football offseason, right?
Yep.
With Jeff Erickson. And they give way to John Hansen during the football season. But, of course, he's also RotoWire senior analyst. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen. Yes, the one replaces the L. It's Nick Whalen, everybody. How you doing, Nick?
Doing well, guys. I guess kind of the former host of Prop Points, at least for the time being. I believe the plan is for us to be back after the Super Bowl, just like we've done the last couple of years. But you can find me now on SiriusXM Monday through Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern. So, you know, got to talk a lot of football this time of year. Eventually, Kelly, in like a month and a half, I think I could strong arm some NBA content onto that show. But always good to be here with you guys.
It's a platoon. It's like Renicky and Lowenstein in left field for the Orioles.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can't hit lefties.
Yeah.
There you go.
Can't hit lefties.
Okay. Future host of Prop Points.
Nick, how many fantasy football leagues are you in, and are you happy with all of your drafts?
Oh, boy. Man, if we're counting best ball, we're well into double digits, probably 20-plus at this point. God. But, you know, best ball is kind of a different animal. Not a lot of in-season management there, really none at all. You just do the draft, and then it kind of auto-computes for you. So I have four or five more drafts that I'll be doing still before week one begins next week. A lot of those taking place over the weekend. I would say I'm actually happier than normal on balance with my drafts. I am just a card-carrying pessimist in general, especially when it comes to anything sports related. So, like, I usually come out of a draft and I'm thinking more about the picks I wish I would have made than the good picks I made. But for the most part, I've left most of my drafts this year feeling okay. There was one that I did, a 14 teamer, which I would not advise. There's a huge difference between a 12 and a 14 team league as far as, you know, what your team looks like, how many elite players you're able to get. That one went completely awry. I have like one of the worst running back rooms I've ever assembled. I need Travis Etienne to basically have a Christian McCaffrey type of season to have any chance in that league. But overall, we're feeling okay as we get closer to week one.
Last fantasy question. Who is the one fantasy player drafted high-ish in fantasy drafts this year that you under no circumstances was going to pick because you think there is a possibility of a crash on this player, that you just don't buy into this player's success like others do?
Yeah, I mean, there's two guys for me in round one, and I was in a draft the other night, actually, where I was picking fourth, and I think I've decided that's just the worst pick. That's not where I want to be, because I am not in on Puka Nacua. You know, that's kind of the obvious default Nacua spot. Most drafts, you're going to see Gibbs, Bijan, Jamar Chase in some order, and then it becomes a little bit more of a debate. You could take Jonathan Taylor. You could push up someone like James Cook. I took JSN at the 1-4, but Puka Nacua is clearly the guy with the highest ceiling at that spot. I just can't do it. And, you know, the offseason stuff is one thing. There's a potential suspension coming. I saw there was, you know, something from another ex-girlfriend that came out yesterday. Like, I have no idea what's going on off the field. It's been a terrible last few months for Nacua, but I really just worry about the style of play. I mean, he's incredibly fun to watch. He's probably the second or third best receiver in the NFL in my eyes, but it's just, he takes so many hits. He has such high usage in that Rams offense. You know, last year he was in and out of the blue medical tent it felt like every single week. He's just somebody that I think coming off of kind of an all-time great season last year, it's going to be really tough, I think, for him to stay healthy enough to replicate that.
Nick, what is your most... Kelly and I just did our AFC power rankings yesterday. We did our NFC power rankings today. And we throw out the caveat like, hey, this is what they are. We don't know if we know anything. Maybe we're completely wrong. Maybe we're somewhat wrong. Maybe we're somewhat right. What's the biggest outlier for you, AFC, NFC, just to the good or to the bad, who you have higher than market or lower?
I think in the NFC, I mean, I'm definitely higher on Detroit, which we've talked about, and that's not a crazy take. I think they have the four shortest odds right now to win the NFC. But I think if things break right health-wise for Detroit, I think that could be the one seed in the NFC. Maybe they need a little help from the LA Rams to get there. I'm also higher on Dallas. I know they're about 13-1 right now to win the NFC. I don't know if I'm quite that in, but I think this is a really well-coached team. You know, we've talked about Brian Schottenheimer as a potential coach of the year long shot that I think makes some sense. You know, we'll see on the Eagles if they can, you know, survive yet another coaching change in terms of an offensive coordinator, losing AJ Brown. But I think there is a path for Dallas to really have a complete season, which is something they haven't done in a while. Usually it's, you know, one side of the ball ends up being great, most often the offense. But I think they at least addressed the things they needed to address defensively. So Dallas is a team that I'm high on. And then I still can't quit the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, guys. You know, we've talked about the New Orleans Saints as a team that I like to go over their win total. I still think the NFC South runs through the Buccaneers. Again, not a team to me that I feel like has Super Bowl potential. I'm not a huge Todd Bowles guy, but you look around at that division, and as much as I'm optimistic about New Orleans, I think there's a ceiling there. I'm not a big Carolina guy. Who the hell knows what's going on with Atlanta? So I think Tampa Bay is a team that we've kind of cast aside because of how they played down the stretch last season. But you know, if we're starting to look ahead at week one, I think Tampa Bay to cover four and maybe even win outright on the road in Cincinnati is something I would look at.
Interesting. Have you bet any awards in the NFL pre-flop?
I sprinkle in on some long shots. You know, I think we've talked about, you know, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, some of my favorite MVP long shots. Jalen Hurts is another guy I just can't quit. I have a group chat where I'm just constantly ridiculed for defending Jalen Hurts, but you know, around 30-35 to 1 at some shops for MVP for a guy who has a top two finish to his name. That's something that I've been looking at. You know, offensive rookie of the year, I gave out Deshaun Stribling at 33-1 a few weeks ago, back when I was still the host of Prop Points. And, you know, that is now down to 11-1. I'm not saying I feel great about it. It's some sort of lock of the century, but it's just a wide open race. I think this year, you know, you have some really talented players, but players who are not in great spots, you know, Jeremiah Love in Arizona, Jadarian Price, who looks like he might be part of a three-headed backfield now in Seattle when Charbonnet's back, Carnell Tate, who had one of the worst preseasons you could possibly have as a top five pick at wide receiver. So I think that's a market that I would keep an eye on throughout the season, because I think we're going to see that market ebb and flow really week to week because of you know, these talented players kind of landing in bad situations. That's how you get somebody like Stribling. That's how you get somebody like Jacoby Lane, who's 15-1 right now in Baltimore.
I said earlier, one of the big topic sentences of the offseason for me is the quote unquote neglect of the Seattle Seahawks with all the over the top and perhaps justified love on the LA Rams. The most popular bet was the Deshaun Stribling offensive rookie of the year. Like, how many people did we have made that bet?
Oh, yeah.
Multiple people, right? As soon as Ricky Pearsall went down.
Three or four.
Not went down, but they decided, well, hey, we probably should finally do surgery on this man's knee a year too late. Nick, appreciate that. Again, Nick, senior analyst over at RotoWire. Always appreciate the time. Nick, thank you.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Before you place a bet this week, ask yourself one question. Why this number? Not who you like, not your gut. Why is this spread actually worth betting? BTB Analytics gives you a real answer. Their models independently price every NFL and college football game. Then compare that projection directly against the market. You get the model spread, the current market line, the cover probability, and a quantified edge showing exactly where and by how much their numbers disagree with the book. They beat the market every year since launch. Profitable 3 years running, verified through BetStamp. Scan the QR code on your screen or go to btb-analytics.com and use code VSIN for 10% off. That's btb-analytics.com. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa. We get tweets, beating the book. This is from down in Jungle Land. He says, Frederick, Maryland, Roy Rogers still thriving here. Looking back on my days in MoCo. You know what that is, Kelly? It's Montgomery County.
Yeah, because you know you knew I didn't know.
Best donuts I've ever had? Modo's Montgomery Donuts. And enjoying Remember When in the DMV Talk Radio. You'll be shocked at what Cabin John looks like now. Wow. Sure, I will be. David Donnelly, this is a great question. David Donnelly says, we had 8 plays yesterday, 6 completed. They went 3-3. We had 2 holding over from yesterday. As there were other matches, some haven't even started. David Donnelly says, with so many matches needing to be completed, why does the U.S. Open start the regular schedule before the match is in progress? It would seem to me that the players would be anxious to get those done. It's a great question. I think anybody who follows tennis wonders this initially. The pat answer, David, is that these tournaments, specifically here with the U.S. Open, they would rather not inconvenience more players and fans.
Right, right.
So in other words, the people who are already scheduled to play when they're supposed to schedule, they'd rather not reschedule them. So they just go with that. And the fans who might be expecting to watch certain players, and then they creatively finish the other matches. It is counterintuitive, but that's the thinking behind it. Tim Murray saying 19 Roy Rogers locations in Maryland. Most of any state in the U.S. of A. How about that?
Yeah, I think you said like 6 states they're still in.
Wow. TC says, do they have the Fixins Bar and the Gold Rush Chicken Sandwich? I'm sure they do. And Brian Eichhorn, Gil, if Kelly has never been to Roy's, he won't understand. Living out here in Vegas for 20 years, I get cravings whenever Roy's is mentioned. Headed back to Jersey in November, I'm hoping there's still a few on the Jersey Turnpike. There you go. Chance Copperpot, what do you guys do after a 20-0 run? I feel like my bets need to get smaller because I'm about to lose 20 in a row. Shouts out to the Toddy Chat. Chance Copperpot, humble bragging, yeah, apparently wow. A 20-0 run.
20-0?
What are you doing?
Chance, if it was a real question, I can answer you honestly that I can't remember the last time I've had a 20-0 run, if we're being real about it. So I don't know what I've done, what I would have done after it.
I've never had a 20-0.
I was going to say, like, if I've ever had one, I don't remember what the hell
there was
happened.
There was a 2021 tennis run at hard courts, which was like 23-2. I mean, something ridiculous, but it was never 20-0. Ever.
You and I just don't bet that sort of volume. Like it's 15 years ago because it would happen in a couple days over like college basketball tournaments probably.
Let's do a couple heat checks here. We'll get to because we said we're going to get to baseball awards yesterday and somehow we didn't. Did I just like motorboat over those yesterday?
Yeah, I thought the same thing when I was
afterwards. I was like, how did we miss that
day?
Yeah, so we'll take a look at Cy Young and MVP, which again, 3 out of 4, Katie bar the door. Let's do a heat check on win totals in the National Football League. We'll do them by conference, starting with the AFC.
Hey, hold up real quick, because it's Win Total Wednesday.
Oh, are the guys looking over or under? It's another edition of Win Total Wednesday on A Numbers Game.
Let's go. Ryan, the voice of Eason.
That's right.
I want to steal his shine.
Robbie always helping with the music.
All right, AFC conference win totals. My favorites remain what they have been throughout the offseason, which is the Chargers under 9.5. And again, it's based on their schedule primarily, which after the first 2 games is a gauntlet, an absolute gauntlet of a schedule. Chargers under. And then the other one is the Steelers under 8.5, which is juiced a little bit at -130. But those are my 2 favorite. I know Steelers fans are going to go crazy. They're going to just destroy me if they win 9 games this year. But I really do feel that this is, and we have a Steelers fans, right? I think it was a Jason Stark who tweeted this yesterday.
Yeah.
He's a Steelers fan, and even he is worried. He's like, this could be ugly.
We might not have enough time for this, but you want to go rapid fire team by team, just where you would go if you had to?
Sure. Yeah.
All right. Ravens 11.5, if you had to.
Oh, if I had to?
Yep. All these if you had to.
Under. And I love the Ravens, but I'd go under.
Yeah, I'll go under. Okay. Bills 10.5, if you had to.
Over, because you got 4 gimmies.
Yep, over. Bengals 10.5.
In the AFC East. Bengals over.
I'll go over. I mean, I guess I lean them for the division, so I'll go over as
over
well.
Over 10.5. We should say the number.
Chiefs 10.5.
Over.
Go under. I'm getting more and more concerned about this Chiefs team as we get closer and closer.
By the way, both with the Bengals and the Chiefs, I'm thinking 11 in both of those.
Patriots 10.5.
Under.
Oh, man. I think under, too, definitely and, wouldn't.
And I'm
bet,
thinking
though.
10-7, right? Or 9-8 or
yeah,
something.
That's where I, yeah, I, then that's why I think won't be stink. At the window. Texans 9.5.
Over, but not by much.
Over, but I think it's like 9 or 10, right? Not what I would be close to betting. Chargers 9.5. You said you lean under.
Under. I don't lean. I love under.
You love it. You bet this? You bet this?
No.
Okay.
I will.
Under at plus money. Yeah, I'm a little interested in that. Broncos 9.5.
Over.
Over. Over, and that's still a win total I am considering. They're a team that I've got circled on the calendar. I think there's a spot a few weeks into the season that's better for them. Jaguars 8.5.
This is the one where I'm like, can I go 8-8-1 and say it's a push? Like, I just have no idea with the Jaguars. I have no idea what I'm getting with them.
Do you remember how many games they won last year?
They won. No, I don't.
13 games.
Yeah, they won the division. Yeah.
Matt Brown threw that at me like a couple months ago. It was just like things you forget from 20. Absolutely. They won 13 games.
They were
the regular
13-4.
It's wild. All right. Steelers, 8.5, over under.
Under.
Under. I'm with you there. I think I'm going to bet to miss the playoffs on the Steelers. I think that's how I'm going to bet against them this year. You know, -160 I'm looking at right now to miss playoffs. Colts, 7.5.
Under. I think there's a disaster scenario.
Completely agree with what you just said. I think there's a possibility of that, too. Titans, 6.5.
Under. Barely.
Under. No interest in betting, though. Raiders, 5.5.
Can the Raiders win 6? I'll say no. Under.
I'm going to go over. I think there's enough that they can get by there.
We're going to do the opposite.
Browns, 5.5.
We're going to do the opposite thing on the Browns. I'll say over on the Browns.
I bet the under, yeah.
Okay.
Jets, 5.5.
Over.
Over. And I might bet it before the season starts. It's what I keep staring at. Dolphins, 3.5.
You might be surprised by this. I'm going under. I don't know if they can win 4 games.
You're right. I am.
They could be epically bad.
They could be. This roster is just brutal, man. Absolutely brutal.
NFC?
NFC!
Let's do the same ejercicio.
Yeah, we'll do the same thing. Okay, all right, starting at the top, we've got Rams, 11.5. It's a big number. I'm going to answer before you, because I'm going to go the Dolphins route with you. I could only bet over, but I'm not betting.
Over would be the lane, but yeah.
Seahawks, 10.5.
Over.
Lions, 10.5.
Over.
Eagles, 10.5. By the way, if I don't answer, I'm agreeing with Gil.
Under.
Yeah, under there too. 49ers, 9.5.
Over.
This is just getting worse and worse, Gil.
That's one of my two favorite NFC win totals. Over.
All right, I'll stick with you for now.
I'm fading the substation.
Packers, 9.5.
They're so 10-7. They're so 10-7. Over.
I'm going under on the Packers this year. 9.5 for the Cowboys, over or under?
It goes against my DNA. To say over, but I'll say over.
I'll go under. They could be great this year. I think people forget how healthy they were last year on that offensive side of the ball. Bears, 9.5, over or under?
They'll be the most exciting 9-8 team ever. Under.
Over. Vikings, 8.5.
Over.
Over. Buccaneers, 8.5.
Under.
I'll go over, because like Nick Whalen said, like they're the only semi-trustworthy team in this conference. They fall into 9 wins. Saints, 7.5.
Under.
Meh. Under. Giants, 7.5.
Under.
Under. Commanders, 7.5.
Under.
Under. Panthers, 7.5.
Over.
Bet it heavily. Falcons, 7.5.
Under.
Wait, did I say under? I bet the under heavily.
Oh.
Not the over.
I was going to say.
Falcons, 7.5.
Under.
I'll go over. Cardinals, 3.5.
Over.
Over. With you. There you go. Our thoughts on every team.
The two conference win totals I like the most. Oh, in the NFC, over Niners. So it was in the NFC, it was under Chargers, under Steelers in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
NFC, it's over Niners, over Lions.
Okay, so the bets that I've made, Panthers under 7.5, Browns under 6.5 as far as win totals go. The last one I said I'm considering, and I think I'm going to bet this before the season, is the Jets over 5.5.
You love the Jets.
I think they got enough there, man. You have to play the Dolphins twice. You played the Titans first week of the season, man. I don't know. I think they're going to be okay.
By the way, they're playing tennis at the U.S. Open, just none of our matches yet. And we got 6 today and 2 pending, which we'll recap here towards the end of the show.
I got 3 bets today, man. Let's go. U.S. Open. Come on.
Kelly Bidlin, tennis better.
That's right. Fire it away.
Major League Baseball. MVP and Cy Young heat checks AL and NL next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.